Are you warmed up yet this morning, brothers and sisters? God is so good, amen? And as Tim said this morning, we are so thankful for you that have come as our invited guests that wear the badge and or maybe are retired from that. We are so thankful for you today. So thankful that you would come and we could just say thank you. Before we go any further, let's pray. Father God, it's a good day. It's a good day because it's your day. It's a good day because we live in America and we have the freedoms to come to church and worship you. And churches are gathering all over our region and all over this nation and really around the globe. And we thank you for that. Thank you that we can do this. We can come to worship you. And Father, I just pray that however we have come today, I know that there has been loss of life again in our communities and in our church family and in our friends this week. And so some of us come today again with heavy hearts. Some of us come with many things on our minds. Some of us come broken in our bodies. Some of us come broken in our hearts. But however we have come today, Father, we have come to worship you. And I pray that your Spirit would guide and direct us and you would be glorified, not only in this church building and this service, but in churches everywhere in this nation and around the globe. I pray that the name of Jesus is lifted up, that the Holy Spirit of God would penetrate our hearts and speak to our ears and our minds, and that you, Heavenly Father, would receive the glory. We praise you today for this beautiful day. We praise you today for walking with us these last days and for a good event yesterday to minister again to our community. I praise you for those that made it happen. And we praise you today, Father, that our invited guests who have come today that wear the badge, our sheriff and deputies and police chiefs and police officers and firefighters and highway patrolmen and perhaps even some EMTs that have been able to come. We thank you for them today, Father, and ask that you would continue to watch over them and guide them and take care of them in everyday life, especially when they put themselves in harm's way. We ask that you would watch over them, and we thank you again for them. Thank you for your Spirit, Father. We ask that your Spirit would continue to lead us in our worship service this morning. And we pray that you would just help us to quiet our hearts from the week, the busyness of last week, perhaps the schedule of next. We pray that you would quiet our hearts because we have come to worship you. Just like we have sung, we have come to worship you. And so, Father, help us to do just that, I pray, in the precious name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I thought maybe today, I know that in our congregation we have a lot of Vikings fans, we have Packers fans. I thought today I would see a lot more Packers jerseys. And I'm so thankful that we have our police officers here because I figured they could keep the peace. That's what they are after all, is it not? They are peace officers. And they could help maintain that peace among the congregation here with our different kind of jerseys today. So, although I don't see many Packers jerseys today. So, I'm so glad, though, that all of you have come. We have invited our local, as I said, and Tim has said already, police officers, sheriff, deputies, firefighters, first responders, highway patrolmen, current, and at the close of our service, I'm going to invite them to stand, and so we can recognize them again. And also, we're going to invite to those that have retired from these kinds of positions, because today we brought you here to say thank you for what you do. Thank you for caring. Thank you for serving our communities. And so we just wanted to do that again. Perhaps we don't do it often enough, but we really want to say thank you for who you are and what you do. Just 2 weeks ago today, 2 weeks ago tonight, thousands of people gathered together, minding their own business, just come together to have fun at an outdoor country music concert. Thousands came together, And at some point, I didn't read the details, but at some point during that concert, some point in that evening's events in Las Vegas, of course, I'm referring to, bullets began to fly about. We've all heard the news. And before the madness and mayhem had come to an end, 58 people had lost their lives. Yes, 59, because the shooter took his life also. Hundreds more were wounded that night. As those shots began to spray about this massive crowd, there were bullets flying, there were people scared, there were people running, there were people actually covering other people, trying to protect them, not caring for their own lives, and there were people dying. Within minutes, this all unfolded. People were dying. And while the mayhem ensued, 911 calls began to go out, and police men and women and firefighters and EMTs, all these professional people began to converge on this mayhem. Many of these officers also putting themselves in harm's way in order to stop the madness. And we can only wonder how many more would have died that night if there were no policemen, sheriffs and their departments, EMTs, firefighters. We can only imagine what the devastation could have been if we didn't have these that wear the badge to come onto the scene and to stop and to help those that were dying. I wonder sometimes what it would be like in our community when your house was on fire and we didn't have any volunteer firefighters. I wonder what would it be like in our community when the banks or the C-stores or any place else or mayhem started the school and we didn't have any police officers. Have you thought about that much, brothers and sisters? Madness and mayhem would ensue if we didn't have these people that are among us today and in among us in everyday life. Seems to be the life of a police officer and a firefighter, never knowing if they or one of their own will not make it back after each call. EMT personnel, doctors, nurses sprang into action 2 weeks ago tonight as blood and madness and death took over Las Vegas. And most recently, now we have these fires in California. And could you imagine for a moment what would it be like in those communities where there's complete devastation already? Thank you. Could you imagine how it would be if there weren't any firefighters in that situation in California? I like statistics, you know that. And I was looking on Officer Down Memorial page this week. 100 police officers have died so far this year. I'm just going to give you one example of a fallen police officer, and then I'm going to give you one example of a fallen firefighter. Just to remind us, this is very real. Detective Jason Wayland, right over here in Wisconsin, was shot and killed while responding to a domestic disturbance and multiple shootings. Police initially responded to a domestic disturbance call at a bank right there in a town in Wisconsin where two bank employees had already been shot and killed. The shooter then went to an attorney's office and shot and killed an attorney in Schofield, before barricading himself inside an apartment complex. The subject exchanged gunfire, the article says, with officers from multiple agencies at the apartment complex. Detective Whalen, being one of those officers, suffered a fatal gunshot wound before the subject was wounded and taken into custody. Detective Jason Whalen was an 18-year veteran of law enforcement and had served with the Everest Metropolitan Police for 15 years. He survived by his wife and two children. What would the mayhem been if there wouldn't have been other officers there that day? According to firehouse.com, there has also been much loss of life in firefighters this year. I saw it looked like about 65 at least to date. One of them, I'm going to read a short clip from a Montana newspaper. This was dated July 20th. A firefighter was killed Wednesday in Montana when he was struck by a falling tree while working to contain a wildfire in the Lolo National Forest. Trenton Johnson, 19. Who lived in Missoula and worked for Grayback Forestry, was part of a 20-person attack crew battling a blaze in the Sealy Ranger District of the forest. When the incident happened, according to a line-of-duty fatality notice released by the U.S. Fire Administration on Thursday, what would we do if we didn't have police officers, sheriffs, their deputies, highway patrolmen, and firefighters to help us in our need? Are you hearing me this morning, brothers and sisters? As I read through many this week, firefighters, how they lost their lives, police officers, how they lost their lives, were reminded of the dangers in what you do, in everyday living for you. We at Motley Free Methodist Church, this is not just a gym thing. This is a church thing. We wanted to bring you here today to say thank you for serving our communities. Thank you for what you do. I could read a lot more of those statistics, but I've read one from the firehouse.com and one from the fallen officer down, so we get the flavor. We understand full well that life can end for these people and us at any moment. I think we get that. But today I'm reminded, especially this week from reading so many accounts of fallen officers and fallen firefighters. Our police officers and our firefighters put themselves at risk with every ringing of the phone, with every time the buzzer goes off. Their spouse, their families probably wonder. At times they probably have this haunting feeling, I wonder if they'll be back. I've chosen some scripture from Daniel chapter 3. And I know that you know the story. If you've ever read Daniel or if you've ever been in Sunday school class, there's some stories in Daniel that you know. One is Daniel in the lion's den. Amen? You know that, right? Work with me here. You know that. Daniel in the lion's den. We all know that. We probably also all know where the three Hebrew boys were asked to bow down to the 90-foot statue, and they said, no, sir, we're not bowing down to it. We probably all know that story, too. That's in Daniel chapter 3. And I want to remind us of that story, but I want to emphasize a couple chapters, mid-chapter, to bring this all together for us today. And so, in Daniel chapter 3, I think you know the background. The children of Israel, because of their disobedience to God and His continued beckoning them to come back to Him and live for Him instead of live for themselves, they were carried away as captives into Babylon. And so when we get to the book of Daniel, the children of Israel, those that weren't wiped out by Nebuchadnezzar and his army, were carried as slaves into Babylon, and that's where they were as a nation. There was no more Jerusalem. There was no more Israel at this time. They're all slaves in Babylon. Nebuchadnezzar, being the conquering king, was no dummy. He would glean from those other tribes and those nationalities and those people in other languages. He would glean from their bright people. He would promote them, and he would use their brightness to his advantage. For Hebrews, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were four such young men that had been promoted. You can see that in chapter 2 of Daniel. They had been promoted in Nebuchadnezzar's group of administrators. And so they were already rising up in the ranks. Even though they were slaves, God was using them in a faraway place. And so we get to Daniel chapter 3, and we see that Nebuchadnezzar, I'm just going to kind of go through here. If you've got your Bible, Daniel chapter 3, and some of it will be on the big screen for you, but I'm just going to kind of move through here, reminding us of the story till I get to the verses that I want to get to. So Nebuchadnezzar, I'm at verse 1 now, if you've got that for our big screen, I'm just going to kind of ease through it, had made this massive figure, 90 feet tall. He set it up, the Bible says, in the plain of Dura, that's the province of Babylon, and King Nebuchadnezzar sent word out to gather together everybody of any authority. And it's all listed there. There's lots of names, administrators, satraps, governors, counselors, treasurers, judges, all kinds of authority. He wanted them all to be there to bow down to his image, to that new statue, that 90-foot image of gold that he had created. And so the word went out. He brought them all together. Verse 3 said, so all the officials of the provinces gathered together for this dedication of the image of King Nebuchadnezzar. And they all stood there, hundreds of them. Hundreds of these officials of Nebuchadnezzar's, from different languages and different peoples, all of them slaves, and yet some of them promoted, but hundreds of them stood there. And the herald cried in verse 4, when you hear the music, when you hear the harp and the psaltery and the lyre, and you hear this music, I want every one of you to bow down to this image. And verse 6 says, verse 5, the last part of it says, you shall fall down and worship the gold image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up, and whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. I've told you this, some of you that have been around here any amount of time, I've probably mentioned this before, but when I was in management and in business, I worked with OSHA in three different states, Massachusetts, California, and here. And when OSHA says, you shall do something, you shall do it. Or you shall be in trouble. That's kind of what was happening here. He said, you shall bow down, or you shall be cast into the fiery furnace if you don't. So, the Bible says in verse 7, when all the people heard it, the horns and the flutes and the harps and the lyres and all this music, they fell down and worshiped the gold image. However, verse 8 begins a little different part of the story. There were people jealous within the crowd, and they ran per se tattling to King Nebuchadnezzar and said to him, O king, live forever. Didn't you make this decree that everybody's supposed to bow down to this idol? And of course the answer is yes, and they say in verse 12, well, there's a few Jews, they're not bowing down. They haven't paid due regard to you, they said to the king. And verse 13, Nebuchadnezzar, in a rage and fury, gave the command to bring these three Hebrews. So they brought these three men. These were people that had already been promoted, remember, in his camp. And Nebuchadnezzar spoke to them and he says, is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the gold image which I have set up? And before they even answered that, he said, I'm going to give you another chance. Now, if you are ready at the time you hear the sound of the horn, flute, harp, lyre, and psaltery, in symphony with all kinds of music, and you fall down and worship the image which I have made, then he said, that'll be good. But if you don't, you're going to be cast immediately into the midst of the burning fiery furnace, which he had already had burning, by the way. And who is the God who will deliver you from my hands then? He asks. Now, I give us all of that for background. I said before, I think you know the story, but I give us all of that for background. My emphasis comes from the next three verses. These three young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, their Chaldean given names, answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If that is the case, if you're going to carry through on doing to us what you said you are going to do, because we didn't bow down to the 90-foot statue, and you're going to throw us in, if that is the case, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us. They had that kind of confidence. Our God, whom we serve, we're not bowing down to yours. Our God, who we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us from your hand, O King. And verse 18 says, but even if he doesn't, let it be known to you, O King, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. You see, these young men had been taught the ways of Moses. They knew commandment number one and commandment number two. They knew about thou shalt have no other gods before you. These three had decided they were going to follow God even as slaves. These three had decided they were going to commit their lives to the Lord, and they're going to follow him, they're going to walk with him, regardless of what the king or anybody else handed out. You know the story. The king was enraged. He told him to heat up the furnace 7 times hotter, ordered some of his officials to carry him down and toss him in. It was so hot that those that tossed him in died. And lo and behold, they toss in Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. In verse 25, Nebuchadnezzar says, look, I see 4 men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. We know the story. But here's the big deal today, friends. Sometimes we walk out that door, we ain't coming back. Are you hearing me? When the concert goers went to Las Vegas 2 weeks ago tonight, are some of the folks in the fire-stricken places of Northern California were just minding their own business in their homes. They had no idea, in most cases, today is my last day. The concert goers, the 19-year-old police, the 19-year-old firefighter in Montana, the 18-year policeman from Wisconsin, when they walked out the door that morning, I doubt they had any indication today is my last day. Sometimes we hear of things like, well, I've been with people, 2 of them this week, that have just been told, you got leukemia, you got a brain tumor. We hear these things, and sometimes we may learn we have these things or something else, and it is devastating to us. Sometimes it's happened within our own church family over and over and over this year, and even in the last week. Sometimes we lose our spouse, we lose our parents, we lose our kids, we lose our siblings. Sometimes life just happens and things do not turn out the way we wanted them to do. Sometimes life happens and it doesn't turn out like we expected at all. It doesn't turn out like we had hoped for at all. 59 people that night died just 2 weeks ago tonight It didn't turn out at all like everybody anticipated when they went to the concert in the first place. These three young men had made a conscious decision, I am going to follow the Lord. And they went so far as to say in verse 18, I have so much, in 17 they said, I have so much confidence in my heavenly Father, it's going to remain there regardless, O King, of what you do to me. And their faith was so solid in the Lord that said, even if it doesn't turn out the way I want it to, I am still going to follow Him. And so I ask us today, friends, neighbors, Motley Free Methodist Church, visitors and invited guests, have we decided to follow Christ no matter what the circumstances of tomorrow may be? You see, friends, eternity is coming for all of us. It came for that 59 in a moment, and none of them knew about it that morning. Some of us will not know about when our eternity begins. Some of us may. But at some point, according to the Word, this is not a denominational thing, this is not a gym thing, this is not a Free Methodist thing. According to the Word of God, we must put our faith in Christ, the Son of God, to be part of His kingdom forever. And if we don't know when tomorrow or if tomorrow will come, then it behooves us to be ready today, because we never know when we walk out that door if we're ever coming back. And so I'm simply encouraging us today with the words from these Hebrew boys, even if it doesn't turn out like I wanted it to, I'm going to trust Him. Even if I've lost my spouse, even if I've lost my child, even if my child has got on drugs and went wayward, even if my grandbaby has cancer, even if the King said, I'm going to burn you alive, we must find ourselves at the point that says, even if it doesn't turn out the way I had hoped, I'm going to follow Him. And so, friends, today, may I encourage us to trust Him so completely that we can say and feel like the three young fellows that were slaves, promoted slaves, but slaves nonetheless. Even if He doesn't deliver like we know He can, we're going to follow Him anyway. Life happens, brothers and sisters. These police officers and firefighters and sheriff and deputies know better than any of the rest of us. Life can change in a moment. And life can be over in a moment. Will we trust in the living God? Will we trust in Jesus Christ no matter what? I read an article just this week where a man put his faith in Christ. He and his wife were going on through life. They had no time for God. They had no time for church. They had no time for Jesus. And this man was approached by somebody else, and he thought about what's in the Word of God, and he just decided, I need to follow Jesus too. I need to do that. And the story went that I read just this week. The man gave his life to Christ. He's told his wife that, and she said, well, I'm not. You lost your marbles or what? And she divorced him. She left him. And he was put in a similar situation, not burned to death, but very, very hard. Because he had committed his life to Christ, his wife said, I'm out of here. And he said, but I'm going to follow Jesus anyway. And I'm saying to us today, the enemy will show up, friends, when we trust in Christ and when things are seeming to be going the best. The enemy will show up. We can read the book of Job, or we can read all kinds of other accounts in the Bible. The enemy is real, and he will show up and he will throw you a curveball. We must decide to follow Christ today, and we must determine like these three, I'm going to do it no matter if it turns out or not the way I wanted it to. even when we cried out to Him on behalf of our spouse, and death happens, even when we cry out to Him on behalf of our family and cancer happens, even when we cry out to Him and divorce still happens, like it happened in the account I read just this week, even when we cry out to Him and we need a job and we can't find a job, we've just lost our job and we're about to lose our house, we must determine like these three, even if it doesn't turn out the way I wanted it to, I will trust in Him. I'm going to close with a quote from Lou Holtz. You know who Lou Holtz is, friends and neighbors? Lou Holtz. Oh, come on. You're going to do better than that. Notre Dame's football coach, Gophers, South Carolina. I thought this might mean something, but if nobody knows who Lou Holtz is, I guess it might not mean a thing. I'll try it anyway. Lou Holtz, the great football coach of those places that I mentioned, Notre Dame, Gophers, South Carolina, and more, was speaking at a commencement, a college commencement address not that long ago. And he said in his address, if you want to be happy for an hour, find you a good steak. And he said, if you want to be happy for a day, go play a round of golf. If you want to be happy for a week, take a cruise. But if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He didn't say it was going to be perfect, but you will have a peace. You will have. I'm beyond Lou's. I'm back to Jim's paraphrase now. That's what Lou said. But I'm telling you, you will have a peace in your soul that knows that even if I walk out that door and I never come back, I'm going to be with Jesus. When we put our faith and trust in Jesus, it is Jesus that said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody comes to the Father except through me. It is Jesus that said that. Not Jim, it's Jesus. And I just want to encourage all of us today, friends, if today is it, have you put your faith and trust in the Son of God? Because He's the only way to God the Father, and He's the only way to heaven. And when we do put our faith and trust in Him, we can say with confidence, as the three boys said that day, come what may in life, I'm going to follow Jesus. Amen. Now, I want to invite, right where you're at, sheriffs, deputies, police officers, chiefs and otherwise, highway patrol, firefighters, that are current EMTs, that's your current role, will you stand so we can say thank you? Then I'm going to invite the retired ones too. But those of you that are current in those roles, will you stand so we can say thank you? Now those of you that have been in those positions and now are retired, because I know we've got retired highway patrolmen here, I know we've got retired firefighters here, will you please stand? I know we've got some. I guess those that are current, you're going to have to stand again so they're not embarrassed. Now what I'm going to ask us to do before we sing our closing hymn, and then lunch has been prepared for you. We want you to know you're invited to eat with us. I'm going to ask Motley Free Methodist, please let our guests go first right behind us to eat. There's lots of seating upstairs, there's seating downstairs. But what I'm going to invite us to do, if you're sitting around one of those that have just stood, will you just simply put a hand on their shoulder? I'm going to pray for them, and then we're going to close with "Just As I Am." So if you had somebody stand around you, will you just slip over, or maybe they're sitting right beside you or in front of you, will you put a hand on them? Not going to ask them to come up front today. Just want you to put a hand on them today so we can pray for them. Let's pray. You put your hand on them. Let's pray. God in heaven, you have blessed us in America with so many blessings, it would take us the rest of the day to count our blessings. But these people that we have recognized that have just stood are some of those blessings. Volunteers and people that put their lives on the line with every ringing of the phone, every time they walk out the door. These are some of the blessings, Father, that you have blessed us with in our community, in our county, in our region. And we want to say thank you for them today, Heavenly Father. We want to ask, Heavenly Father, that you would protect them and their families. That you would go with them each day on the job. And even when they're going, they get these calls and they're racing back to the job. Will you watch over them, Father? Will you protect them? Will you encourage them? Will you bless them and their families and keep them and make your face to shine upon them? Will you help them to feel and know the Prince of Peace, Jesus, our Savior and Lord? And even when the day gets ugly, when the tragedy happens again and they're the ones left to scoop up the remains, Father, will you be with them and take care of them and help them to be steadfast, immovable in their faith, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that says, regardless of what happens, my faith is in the Lord, and I will keep doing what He's called me to do. Will you go with them, Father, and be with their families this week and next month and next year and hold them close and keep them safe? And Father, I would just add, if we're here today and we haven't committed our faith like the three Hebrew boys did, we haven't said in our mind and in our heart, I'm going to follow the Lord. No matter what happens, Father, I pray that we would do that today because tomorrow might be too late. And so while we're singing this song, Just As I Am, Father, maybe today is a day where somebody says, Just As I Am, Lord, I come to you. I come to you and give my life to you. I need you. I want you. Come into my life and take over. Maybe today is a day for somebody to just say, Just As I Am, I'm coming to you, Jesus. And so thank you for everybody here. Thank you for the meal that has been prepared. Thank you for the hands that have prepared it. Will you bless it to our bodies and to good fellowship yet around the noon meal? I pray it all in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.